So what's on your mind this morning?
Anybody?
Well, let you kick it off.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, actually, I think we're gaining some traction. We did get that account from the church, which is about $5 million in assets. So, you know, that's good. I think that's really going to produce, you know, a lot of fruit. So, really want to spend some time with them and, you know, just get that, you know, under control. I think we're really gaining traction from all of our monthly calls and appointments. One thing that I thought we would concentrate on today, and I don't know if you have it, Thomas, but the monthly, you know, we really want to work on doing these campaigns of, you know, talking about different topics, because we're always picking up extra business, you know, from these insurance things that we do. And we're actually working a pretty big one. There's about a $200,000 gross that is just in, like, it's 90% done. So, you know, so that's really significant. So I just want to keep working on especially all the topics that we talk to people about, because it definitely produces a lot of extra revenue for us.
It's really good. It's really good. It's organized. You know, you get organized. People don't give enough credit for just being organized. Congratulations on the church. That's a great win. And I don't ever congratulate you on tickets before they drop. And I know insurance is one of those that you... We used to say, never count it until a check clears the bank.
Exactly. Yep.
Chickens hatched. Yeah.
Yeah. But good going, and I'm glad to see that the, you know, the planning and the 24-month calendar is working for you. Done right, it should, you know, you guys are picking up on that. It's so funny that some people just, I don't know why they wouldn't see it, but you see it because you use it to make, you know, you do it to educate the people, and that's your primary goal. Educate them on long-term care, educate them on the beneficiary, you know, why you need to review your beneficiaries. But what you do is you discover, right? That's what you do. When you're doing this education and helping, you're discovering things, opportunities, mistakes, problems, bad titling of things. Annuities that they are old or shouldn't have, or, you know, improper insurance. And so you get a chance to kind of bring them up to date, help them with things that they need and should have. And they don't get around to, and frankly, you don't get around to, unless you have a structure. And the structure and the process gives you the opportunity to be more productive and maybe do business with people you wouldn't have done business with otherwise.
And that's what we're trying to do now, is to reach out to and try to start generating those referrals, or even the, you know, Sam's doing a great job of getting these letter and folders out to prospects and trying to, you know, just educate people that, you know, maybe would be a good fit for our business, and but to teach them the Supernova intentional contacts method.
It's great.
How we can work with our clients. So that, I hope we'll, we can figure out how to also use that in other prospecting. Like LinkedIn is now starting to be a little powerful there, and I'm trying to think, how else can I, you know, send my education piece out to potential prospects?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what other venues. So, you know, as you said last week, which I thought was a good idea, sometimes the people that are news in the news, in the newspaper, that I know them, you know, to kind of reach out that way. But that doesn't happen often enough.
No, it's a good tool, though. If you read the newspaper and then connect it and then look them up on LinkedIn and look to see who they are connected to, then you can connect to one of your friends who then you can ask for an introduction to the person that is selling their business, you know, receive whatever. Whatever is, you know, money in motion, they call it. Anytime there's money in motion, there's opportunity, and if you can get an introduction from a person that they know and trust, then your probabilities of helping that person go way up rather than just a cold call. And that's where LinkedIn, I mean, cold calls work, but that's where LinkedIn can be such a help to you. I mean, you cut through so much. You know, we used to have to do so much random work to find a highly qualified person and discover everything about them. And here it is right there in LinkedIn with all the connections they have and people they know. And then you just connect to them. So,
yeah, so I've just started doing that. And I haven't had it be real productive yet, but I'm going to keep doing that. My LinkedIn isn't as... I need to work on getting my LinkedIn bigger.
Yeah, it's crazy. My son-in-law probably has, who knows, he's, you know, maybe 5,000 people on LinkedIn. So I've got maybe 2,600 or so. But when I post something that's interesting, I will get, you know, 8,000 people look at it. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it gets to be a pretty good, you never know, right? You just keep working it.
Yep.
Doesn't keeping up with LinkedIn kind of become another job?
Yeah, well, you know, if you read in my new book, you know, read the chapter on LinkedIn, because for certain FAs, they spend an hour a day on LinkedIn every day. But of course, they're using it very successfully, and it's providing them everything they need to market. So it's just up to you how you want to use it. You don't have to use it every day. You can use it for 10 minutes a day, or you can use it for an hour, or you can use it never. But it's one of those things that gives you information. So just think of it as a productivity resource rather than a time suck. Take a minute in the Supernova Multiplier and just read the chapter on LinkedIn. I think you'll find it helpful.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's one thing for me to say it, but it's another thing when you read about how people use it. And in their words, I think that can be give you some, you know, credibility in terms of it's hard. It's hard to change your habits and start something and not know and worry that you're going down a black hole, right? I don't want to waste time. I don't want to spend an hour on LinkedIn unless it's going to work out. So don't spend an hour on LinkedIn. Spend 10 minutes on LinkedIn every day, or use it when you need to do some research. But, you know, gradually over time, I think it will pay. I had one guy, though, that went down that route, and that's all he worked on, and it wasn't a good idea.
Right.
So that's why we give you 7 strategies for increasing your business, not one.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, when I was in the restaurant business, if you only did one thing, you typically fall on your face. It had to be multiple things that you had to be working all the time.
Yeah, Sam, it's really smart. I mean, when I would do a project, I would probably have 4 or 5 different strategies for marketing it. You know, for getting the message across, I would pick different groups of FAs. I wouldn't just rely on one. And I, you know, it's the same thing. I'm, you know, in my world as a regional director, I was marketing to FAs, right? I was trying to get them to either change their behavior or take a look at a product or whatever it was. So I would have multiple strategies, and just like with advertising, a certain amount of persistence or you're going to get nothing. You know, you're just, you gotta be patient, and you gotta be persistent, and you gotta increase the quality of whatever you're doing to market. So you're constantly improving your ad. You know, you start out with a half a 1% return, or, you know, and gradually increase it and increase it and increase it by having the quality of the ad get better and the placement of it get better. And so you think about that, and then you think about our marketing and how random we are with our marketing compared to the precision of that kind of marketing.
Right.
So in reality, introductions from existing clients is the easiest.
Right.
Because they know you and they trust you and they know what that experience is going to be. It's word of mouth. Always the best in the restaurant business, in our business, in any business. But if you rely on that alone, you're probably not being smart.
Yeah. Well, one thing, you know, one thing that I noticed about Patty has a, like a lot, she's a networker, and she knows a ton of people. But one thing is she doesn't really capitalize, you know, and get business from all those contacts. And, you know, and we've talked about it, like some of it is like she just doesn't want to really push her services on them or whatever. But I think that's a huge source, you know, just especially the people that she knows and, you know, the context that they have is really, really, it's just deep, you know? So
right.
I just think, you know, because I think LinkedIn is good for like, you know, and I just think it would be kind of reinventing the wheel for her. I'm not saying for her not to do it, but I see more of an opportunity of her working all of these contacts that she does have and really kind of showing them what she does and who she is, you know?
Right. Yeah, I would agree.
How would you present yourself to someone that you know socially and that you have a, you know, we're in the community and we're working and helping the community together? How do you go into that millionaire person because you know them through the community?
Patty, it's a good question, and it's a really I cover that in social networking in the book, but the answer is, and this is what I've discovered. It sounds so simple, but the reality is it's exactly the same way as if you decided that you wanted a new friend and that person was the person that you wanted as a friend. So the question is, what would you do? So to me, the first thing you do, you know what you do, right?
Yeah, I would invite them to lunch or get to know them or get a cup of coffee with them, whatever. And maybe not even talk business the first time, but just get to know who they are.
Sam, that's exactly what you do. You don't present yourself in your – you present yourself as a friend. You have to – for centers of influence, this is the part that people don't understand. For centers of influence to work, you must be friends.
Yep.
See, people call up people and go and see them and say, let's do business together, and da 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 da. That lasts about 20 minutes, and then they go back to whatever they were doing. Instead, you've got to make a commitment to become friends. So is it easier to be friends with people that you have something in common with? Answer,
for her,
yes.
For me, I don't have any friends, but for her, oh, man.
Right. So if you have something in common, use that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I was just the MC at a breakfast this morning at the Breakers, and there was about 65, 70 people there, and the town manager and all the different directors of all the departments of the town of Palm Beach were there taking questions from the residents, and I was the MC. And this is my 17th annual. I've done this for 17 years. So it's kind of my thing that the people on the island know that I do. And so that was the question. Is now that I'm just had a successful 17th annual, you know, how do I capitalize on some of those people that were in the audience?
Well, you've got to have a cause of some sort. When you're dealing with people that are residents, there's always a cause. There's always something, right, that they want, that they're not getting, and so you can help them get that, and they will see you as their advocate, and they will see you as their leader, and then they will want to do business with you. So when you get up as the MC, they like that. That shows leadership and courage and all those things. But they will follow you if you are leading them in a cause that they believe in. Okay?
Yep. Okay. So if at the same time we're trying to get a women's group through the National Christian Foundation, which is, have you ever heard of, name of it? Strike Force. Have you ever heard of Strike Force?
No. Uh-uh.
It's where 100 ladies get together, and they each donate $1,000, and that puts $100,000 in the coffers that they can then do grants to for other worthy causes that have, a God purpose, a godly charity.
Great. Those are great things.
So that could be a mutual. You know, I want to invite you out to lunch and talk to you about.
That's a huge one.
Coming up and talk to you
that's huge.
Strike Force.
Just like I spoke last month about me starting this life work leadership up here and helping it getting off the ground, because there is one in Broward, but it's not up here. And but same thing, just meeting with people, you know, influential business owners, business people that would want to see that come off the ground, you know, up here. So, you know, there's a lot of work to do that, but there's no question about it. I mean, that's the way. That's definitely, you know, and it's not the angle. You know, we can't just say that we're doing it just so we can pick up business. It's actually, number one is, you know, we have a purpose in mind. Either it's through Strike Force or Life Work Leadership, and we're trying to develop it in this area. So that should be the number one thing. But the secondary is that potentially they become clients, you know?
Well, that's right. So here's the difference, okay? In the one, you're doing something as for them as a group. The other is you get to know them personally and you take it from there.
Yeah.
So you can't just do it as a group or you'll never get to the personal relationship. So when you meet these people and you convince them to join, you find something in common, and then you say, let's, you know, you're at lunch, so you say, you know, whatever. You figure out what you have in common, whether it's a sport or it's an interest or it's just wine or, you know, culinary interest. Talk about different restaurants. You know, it'd be fun to get together and have dinner. Why don't we go to this new restaurant over here? I know the chef, or I think it's going to really do well, and I really want to support him, and so on. And so you go together with, you know, as couples, and you have fun. You know, you just make a new friend. And so the game is, you know, we used to call it, instead of fundraising when we were doing charities, we'd call it friend making. Because it's very hard to say no to a friend.
Friend making, is that what you said?
Instead of fundraising?
Yeah, instead of fundraising, it was friend making.
Okay, got it.
And so because it's very hard to say no to a friend, right?
Right.
So you're doing two things. You're helping raising the money for whatever cause you're doing, and you're making a new friend, which then puts you in a position to help them. And always think of it that way. You're in a position to help them. They're not in this to help you. You're there to help them, because they're the ones with the problem, and you know it. They all, I mean, how many people could actually answer the question, if you asked them straight on, if you died tomorrow, would everything be taken care of? Nobody can answer that question that it would be everything would be taken care of. So therefore, they've got a problem. They all have a problem. They all, oh, I'm all set. Oh, you're not all set. You haven't gone through the checklist of everything that you need, you know, that your spouse is going to go through if you died tomorrow.
Right.
So don't ever think that everybody's taken care of. In fact, most people are a mess.
Yeah, they absolutely are.
And you know, and the always, well, I'm taking care of it. I do my business with Fidelity. And I always say, yeah, but that's great for you. But what about Nedra? What about Marcia? What about Helen? And the guy goes, oh, my God. Yeah, she doesn't know anything. All right. So how would that work out?
Yeah.
And the wife is always, well, if anything happened to old Sam, I just come to you guys. Well, you know, that's not always the easiest thing in the world, right? We don't know where everything is. That's really not fair to us.
Right.
For you to bring all this stuff to us and expecting us that we can execute and take care of everything without Sam, you know, I mean, that's not really fair.
Yep, that's good. If you died tomorrow, would everything be taken care of?
Yeah, it's true, you know. I mean, it's all true. And we all think we're pretty good, right? Even you guys. You think, well, I got things pretty well taken care of. But I guarantee you I haven't been through that checklist.
Yep, you're right.
So if you haven't, then what the hell? I mean, think about it. Right? You're thinking about this stuff all the time.
Right.
So, I have a good idea for you. I want to just share it. It isn't in my book yet. It isn't in the new book, because I just kind of came up with it. I've been really concerned about tracking. And I don't think I covered this with you guys, but I've got a couple of clients that are pretty good at tracking. And what do I mean by that? I mean tracking their prospects, having a spreadsheet and a funnel, you know, to develop new prospects. And I think that'd be good for you guys. Because look what you've said. You said, when we're organized, we do better. Well, let's get everything organized. Because we're really good in the 12-4-2s. We're probably, I suspect, not as good at tracking the client prospects. And so I have kind of a spreadsheet. I've got the categories for it. And I've got some ideas on how to use it. Would that be something that would be of interest?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, actually, you want to hear some, you know, I don't think anybody prospect as much as I did when I first got in the business. And we had this crazy, so you remember the little file box with the little index cards?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We call it the 3-box system.
Right. So, you know, I started at Solomon Smith Barney, right? So when we went to training, we got a lot of training, actually. I went to Atlanta for a week, and then I did 3 weeks in Hartford, Connecticut. So it was a solid month, which was really cool. They actually put you through, like, cold call training, you know? and they gave you a box, and they gave you all these index cards. And what I discovered was, you know, like as you're doing all these cold calls and you're recording, you know, on the card, you're putting, you know, who the new prospect is and, you know, what your conversation was like, right? So, so you're putting them in the box, and the follow-up was you just rotate through the cards. Well, what I discovered was that there was no – it was like I could be potentially just following up on a weekly basis, which is way too much anyway because you're scaring the client off, you know, the prospect off. And so I had to come up with a system where it was a total spreadsheet. And the reason why I did it is by the time 9/11 rolled around, I had over 1,000 index cards. And when the market shut down during 9/11, I literally built a whole spreadsheet and put every one of those cards on an Excel spreadsheet.
Wow, good for you.
And I scheduled them so that every month either I made a phone call or I sent them something, you know, like, you know, like something off of your list, you know, like off your basic topics, you know. So, but I never wanted to call them every single month because it was too much. And what I discovered from all the other trainees is that they couldn't gain any traction because what they were doing was just kept going through their list, their cards, and they were burning out all these prospects because they were calling them so much.
Yeah, exactly. And it was even, you know, we used to always say, you know, guys, I don't care how many times you're going to call that guy. He's not going to go from a prospect to from a suspect to a prospect. He's not qualified. Throw him away. It was very hard to get people to throw him away. It was so much easier to call somebody you'd already called.
Exactly.
Because they'd like to hear from you, even though they'd never do business with you.
Exactly.
I can remember going as Merrill Lynch and going in 97, and the sales manager told all of us little newbies to come to the conference room with our box. And he walked around with a garbage can and made us all put our boxes in the garbage and told us to start over, that we were burning up our – we were, you know, not doing it. And we went into a little cold call thing, and we kind of started all over. He gave our boxes back. But the whole point was, is that I can remember – leaving that conference room thinking, I don't have my box.
I know. That's my safety net, right?
Like, oh, my God, I got to start all over. Oh, my God. This manager's crazy.
I know. We used to have three boxes in the three-box system. Dave Mullen created the three-box system. And I can't even tell you what was – but they were, you know, you'd go to go from really cold suspect to hot suspect to prospect, you know.
Right.
And you keep moving the cards from one box to another.
Right.
At least it had some semblance of purpose.
Yeah.
But, all right, so you guys have got a business. So here's the part that's interesting. We want to think of this as moving it from the left-hand column to the right-hand column in a continuum forever, okay, until everyone theoretically would be in the right-hand column. So you'd start out, the first column would be leads. These would be just names, just people that you got as a lead.
Right.
Then you'd put in suspect, the next column. And I wouldn't put a date on the leads. I'd just put their names. But on the suspects, I would put a date and a dollar amount. Just a guess.
Okay.
And then prospect, I would put the date and then a more exact number. And then the customer, Let's define what a customer is. A customer is someone that does business with you. Okay? Just that. Nothing more. The next column would be a client. And a client is a person that you've done a financial plan. You like them. You trust them. They like you. They trust you. They listen to you. And they have the ability to grow. Okay? I mean, they're a good person. They haven't referred you yet. So they're just a client. The next column, and I put the date there, when they became a client and the dollar amount. And what we're putting, the dollar amount in this case with a client or a customer is the amount of money that you don't have, the amount of money that may be coming. So all of this is future assets. Okay, dollars away from you, rollovers potentially coming, whatever. And then advocates are people that like you and trust you and send you business without you asking. And you have them. The problem is you don't have them sending you business regularly. They do it on their schedule, but you want to move it to your schedule. So now we create something called the ambassadors. And that's the final column on the right. And that's a person that has brought you business within the last calendar year. I mean, he's brought you a new client within the last calendar year. They opened them. It's not just introduction. You've actually opened them in the last calendar year. Mm-hmm. And so you create what you call the Ambassadors Club. And then you entertain them as a group. So they get separate invitations. And under their name is always Ambassador. Ambassadors Club. People ask, how do I get in the Ambassadors Club? Oh, those are people that have sent us business in the last calendar year. They drop out of the club if they don't send you business in that year. So that keeps your advocates constantly thinking of people that they can bring to you. So this is one of the things that you could do as a, you know, as a group.
Okay. Cool.
So Patty, see how that could work for you? It'd be just a fun club, you know.
Yeah, so in the prospecting thing, so LinkedIn, we communicate with somebody, and so they're a name, and then we send them something, and when we have done the conversation about what we do, because now we've sent them something, so then that's the potential of them becoming a prospect, and when we actually get them to do business with, bring an account over, then they become a customer, but now taking that relationship, and we could even do this with existing customers, is are they customers or are they clients?
Right.
And then how to make those customers become clients, and then clients become advocates, and then create the ambassador club.
Bingo. Because no matter how good you are, you have customers that aren't clients.
Right.
And what I want to do for you guys is I want you to know who they are.
Yeah.
I want you to look at them every Monday and say, what is going on here?
Yeah, that was one of the things we tried to do when we moved over here, was to not bring customers with us.
Right.
If you're not going,
but they still stick around. There's still some in there.
Yeah, you're right.
And the question is, you know, are we going to, is it okay? Do we just accept it? Or is there something we can do? You know, we're pretty proud of what we're doing. We're pretty proud of the experience we're delivering. Maybe we just haven't introduced this properly.
Okay. Yeah, there are some that are just stuck in their ways, but you're right. Continuing to reintroducing them to a financial planner, doing, you know,
right,
doing something, trying what we can to get them to grow with us and become a client.
Right, because you can outgrow them, and you know what? Every client represents time. And there may be just a time where you just go, you know what? He's parked that $5 million with us for 10 years. He's never done any business except when he calls and does a little business here or there. I think we'd be better off giving him to somebody else.
Yep, that's what we tried to do when we came here. But you're right, there are still some that we did bring.
Yeah, you can't help it. I mean, we're all the same. We're all, you know, we all have hope and believe that we're going to.
I don't believe in the lottery myself, but we believe in things are going to turn out good for us. So we expect that these people will somehow have a revelation and they'll turn nice. But sometimes that doesn't work.
Or they'll have a life event and they now need our help and can then see value.
Yeah, right. But when you get so busy, hopefully the busyness drowns that out, where you say, you know what, we need that slot.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So if you've done this, Dan, you'll like this because you'll see the value in it, especially since you'll see it visibly in your practice and say, you know what, it can't become – they can't jump to the client list unless they've done a financial plan.
More reason to get our follow-up on financial plans.
Yeah, that's good.
See what I mean? I think it could be very powerful. I'd love to work on this for the next, you know, couple of months with you, because I think you guys are uniquely positioned to take advantage of this. Because let's face it, if you can move a customer to a client, that might be as important as bringing in a new client.
Yeah, if they're going to be able to have the potential in giving referrals, then
right.
That would be.
Right.
It further
solidifies
the relationship too, you know.
Right.
We actually just did a mini financial plan for a prospect, which it's kind of interesting. It's like you wonder, like, should you even do that before getting them to become a client? Now we'll know. I think we'll find out tomorrow or the next day.
Friday morning.
Yeah, if they'll become a client. But it's just part of the process, you know, of showing them what we can do. And
right.
It'll be interesting because they're, you know, we're being, well, one of them is a little bit easier, but, you know, like, so our they're with Merrill right now.
Yep.
You know, high fees, unbelievable high fee. You know, it's about $1.1 million in assets, and they were charging them 1.65.
Yep.
And the return has just not been good at all. You know, over the last 5 years. So they definitely want to get away from Merrill. They feel like, you know, first of all, the advisor, believe this, if you can believe this, he was just calling and asking a lot of questions. And the advisor said, you know, you're one of my most difficult clients. So that kind of spurred on, you know, and that's how we got involved in the picture.
You know who we're in competition with is Fisher Investments, you know, the guy on TV.
Oh, God.
that's one of our, that's who he's looking at.
Yeah, so Fisher, but also a robo
advisor. Right.
Well, give him, you know, think about, you know, give him the 90-day free look. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we went even a step further where we actually put together the financial plan for them and took, I mean, they were real diligent. I mean, they put together better than anybody else I've ever seen, any client. They gave us all of their expenses, when they want to retire, you know,
wow,
all of their, you know, how much they want to spend in retirement. I mean, it was really good. And, you know, we got back to them and showed them what type of allocation they should be in. I mean, we pretty much, we rolled it out.
We pitched them, yeah. I got a chance to tell them about Supernova and really, you know, demonstrate, you know, that intentional contact and, you know,
yeah,
that, put our arms around them. And so Friday, I've got my fingers crossed that that's a good call.
That's a good experience, even if they choose somebody because they are not smart or whatever. You did a good job, and that's all you can do. You know, I play a lot of golf, and once you make a good putt, you can't worry about it. The ball goes in, great, but you made a good putt. And
yeah,
that's the way you got to think about this. When you're doing prospecting, it's just a matter of you're doing everything you can to control the situation, but you cannot control the outcome.
Right. That's right.
So mentally, that's a really important thing, because I think that that's one of the reasons people fail to prospect more. I think mentally they see it as rejection.
Right, absolutely.
And you really can't. You guys have been through it. You grew up in the business of cold calling. You know what it's like. You know mentally how you must handle it. And it can't be. It's all about you. If your process is good, the outcome will be better than most. And that's all you can hope for.
Right.
So you did a good job. You've got everything going for you. You made a good putt. Hey, hopefully it goes in. But if it didn't, you made a good putt.
Right.
And that's the way to enjoy it. Enjoy your life, enjoy your business, and,
yep,
and not be tied to the outcome all the time.
Exactly.
Kind of a little more zen approach to things, you know? So, good. All right, well, put this to work. Hopefully it was helpful to you. I think it's kind of fun. I've seen some pretty interesting really good results from it. So hopefully it works well for you guys.
Yeah.
I think it will. All right. Anything else?
I think that's it. We'll let you know if we got this new client. So.
Yeah. Have fun with it. Go in expecting to close.
Yep. Definitely.
Exactly, yep. Right. Correct.
That's exactly. All right. Well, thanks.
Thank you, Rob.
All right.
Thanks, Rob.
Good call. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.